I'm going to tell you something that happened to me in 2015. Back then, I was working at a restaurant near the Insurgents roundabout in Mexico City. The routine was familiar. If you were lucky, you would leave around 1:30 in the morning. But most of the time, the hours would be extended until after 2 o'clock. That day, I left early, if you can see it that way. It was 10 at night. I walked a few blocks to the subway. At that time, it was almost empty. I got off at Salto del Agua and changed to Line 80, the green one. After arriving, I stood on the platform, heading towards Constitución. The frequency of the trains had decreased and the wait was getting longer. That was the moment I saw her. On the opposite platform, there was a woman leaning against the wall wearing a red coat. The image shocked me. It looked like, no, it was more like my wife. I didn't need to see her clearly. I was sure it was her. Her red coat, her long, straight hair. She hadn't noticed me. Her attention was fixed on nothing. The situation was strange. I felt the need to shout at her so that she would see me, but instead I preferred not to catch her eye. I backed away. I decided to go up the stairs to change direction and go to meet her. As I hurried towards the other platform, on the platform above, I heard the sound of the train approaching the station. I ran down the stairs and then ran across the platform to where she was. The train came to a complete stop and opened its doors. As I continued walking in her direction, the door closing announcement sounded. I was still a little way from her when she noticed me. When she saw me, her face immediately showed a look of horror. It was her, it was my wife. I saw her. She saw me. She got into the carriage without giving me time to react. Luckily, I managed to get in before the doors closed. The train started moving. What I did immediately was find a place to try to catch my breath. She took a seat at the other end of the carriage. I was nervous, very nervous, too nervous. I could barely breathe. I didn't even know what I was going to say to her. What's more, I didn't even know why I was following her. I was so surprised to see her there. It wasn't normal, but neither was how I was feeling. I got up and walked towards her. When I was about 5 steps away, she turned around. She covered herself when she saw me. She pushed her hair in her face. Anna. I called her by her name and she reacted, but she didn't turn around. She obviously knew I was talking to her. Her behavior seemed very strange to me and I couldn't help but notice it the whole time and try to find an answer. So I asked her what she was doing there. I asked her if she was okay. She wasn't looking at me, but she seemed very uncomfortable. Suddenly, a man who was witnessing this whole strange interaction got up from his seat and violently pushed me aside, telling me to leave her alone. He said this by grabbing me by the arms with his big hands and lifting me up a little. I apologized to her and tried to explain to him so that he wouldn't think that I was a stalker, that I had simply confused her, that I had mistaken that woman. For your wife, An elderly woman who was also watching asked me if I had mistaken her for my wife. I wanted to ask her how she knew, but the lady wouldn't let me talk. She told me that it couldn't be, that she couldn't be my wife anymore, because Anna was dead. At that time, Anna had been dead for 3 years. She also wore a red coat in cold weather. She also had long hair. She was the same height, physically identical, and they even had the same look. I couldn't believe I was seeing her because, of course, I knew very well that she wasn't here anymore. And I don't know if that was more disturbing to me or that there was a person who looked exactly like her. The rest of the way I walked, I thought about what had just happened. In my mind, I still had a clear image of that person. It was Anna. She was identical to Anna. After that night, for about 2 weeks, I didn't take the subway again. On the one hand, I was afraid of having to face the same feeling again. And on the other hand, I think the most important one was that when I left work, I had to take a taxi because the metro was already closed at that time. However, almost every day I thought about what would happen if I actually ran into Anna and that Anna wasn't dead or that I ran into that person who looked so much like her. Do you know what happened 3 weeks after I saw her again? I don't know which one of them. What happened that same day, a little before the encounter, I'm honestly sorry to tell you, but it's an obligatory part of this story. I took my daughter to the historic center. It was her birthday. It was just her and me. We ate hamburgers. I stopped to buy her a present and took her for a walk along the Alameda. Suddenly, do you think? The woman in the red coat appeared, sitting on one of the stone benches that look out over the fountains in a circle. One of the many esplanades in the Alameda Central was full of people, but the bench where the woman in the red coat was sitting was empty. Well, there was only her. I can't tell you if it was Anna. I also can't tell you if it was the same woman I met on the subway. Suddenly I looked around and saw three other women wearing the same red coat. The only difference was that none of them looked like my dead wife, as much as the one sitting on the bench rummaging through a yellow bag. By the way, my wife also had a similar yellow bag. She took a hand mirror with a lid out of the bag, one that I remembered buying for Anna in Tepos Lawn. So Anna was obviously dead, but there was a woman using her things, perhaps stealing her identity. I took 2 steps closer. She didn't move, she didn't see me. Another 2 steps. 10 steps. When she saw me, she put the mirror and makeup in her bag, got up, and started running toward the Palace of Fine Arts. I didn't understand what scared her so much about me, and I don't know what made me always chase after her. Let's suppose it was my wife, Anna, and if every time we met she ran away. What was the point of continuing to try to make contact? Let's also suppose it was someone very similar. How wrong it was to try to impose my presence on that person by trying to force her into the costume of my dead wife's ghost. I shouted her name. She turned and kept running. I didn't want someone to tackle me halfway, thinking that I wanted to hurt that woman. I stopped shouting at her, but I didn't slow down. I tried not to go exactly after her, I just wanted to catch up to her and explain myself. We crossed the entire esplanade of the Palace of Fine Arts, always keeping a distance of no more than 10 meters. When she reached the edge of the sidewalk on the central axis, she didn't stop. She didn't notice the trolley bus was coming from the opposite direction. The truck hit her hard. He threw her to the pavement as if she were a rag doll. You don't know what I felt. I can't explain it to you. I wasn't the one who threw her, but I made her run to the avenue. My heart was beating out of my chest. It was so shocking, it was horrible. I felt so guilty, I didn't know what to do. I went over to her, knelt down, and screamed for an ambulance. People began to gather around us. The fear that someone would say that she had suffered that horrible accident because she was running away from me weighed heavily on my shoulders. The resemblance this woman bore to Anna was unsettling. It was much more frightening to see her up close, but what left me completely astonished was hearing her voice. It was the same. That woman lying on the pavement tried to get up. When she brought her face close to mine, I understood that she wanted to tell me something. I'm not your wife. Go get the girl, you left her alone. Horrified, I got up immediately. I felt cold sweat running down my back. I left my daughter on the promenade, in the flower beds. I estimate that it took me about 40 seconds to get there, but to me it felt like an eternity. I didn't even want to think about what would happen if I got there and she wasn't there. I didn't even tell her to wait for me, I just let go of the girl's hand and followed Anna. When I got there, luckily, the girl was sitting on the bench. Next to her was the yellow bag, the one the woman in red had left behind. I took the girl by the hand and then I picked up the bag that the woman had left behind, the one Anna had left behind. I walked with her to the esplanade of the Palace of Fine Arts and there, in one of the flower beds, I picked her up and hugged her. When I found her, she wasn't scared. I'm almost certain she didn't understand what had happened, but I explained to her that I had made the mistake of leaving her, and with a trembling voice and a feeling of weakness in my legs, I promised her that I would never do it again. The girl was strangely calm. I wasn't. I had just seen a person get run over. And not only that, a person who looked exactly like my dead wife. Furthermore, as I ran desperately towards the Alameda, I had to deal with the horrible possibility that I had lost my daughter. Before we started walking, I told her that the yellow bag belonged to someone who had just been in an accident and that we were going to accompany her to the hospital. I was aware that this was not the right time to introduce her to such a huge shock as seeing someone who had been in an accident, much less that that person was her mother. However, I couldn't think of what else to do. It was a moment of great tension and stress. When I could finally see the central axis, something seemed very strange to me. There weren't a crowd of people watching the accident, nor the traffic, nor the ambulances, nor the woman lying on the ground. There was nothing, not even a stain left by the skidding tires on the pavement or blood. Clearly nothing had happened there. What happened left me so bad that the girl asked me more than 3 times if I was sure I was okay. We took the subway back to the house. I went quietly while she slept. When we arrived, she asked me for permission to go to her cousin's house. Without thinking, I took her. Maybe she was angry and rightly so, her father was losing his mind. I saw a dead person, I followed her, I was thinking about that all the time. I went out into the street only to get the red coat. After leaving the girl at her cousin's house, I rushed back home to check the bag. It was the same color, model, and brand. Then inside I had a mirror exactly the same as the one I had given her when we went to Tepoztlán. Her phone charger had an identical sticker, a cat. She really liked cats. The bag had things that I honestly didn't recognize, but that she might have bought. That night I couldn't sleep and the next night I couldn't get what was happening to me out of my head. I searched the internet, Reddit forums, and YouTube. There were so many answers, but most of them were unbelievable. Nothing happened for a month, but I swear that when I was on the bus, my gaze would scan the entire carriage, the entire platform, the entire station. When I was on the street, I would look at all the people on the sidewalks, those passing by in cars, those crossing the streets. When I entered a restaurant, a woman wearing a red coat or sweater would immediately startle me. At the beginning of March, Anna's mother invited my daughter to spend a weekend at her house. She told me that her grandfather would come by in the car to pick her up, but I told her it was no problem, that I could take her. Her grandmother lives in Kuala. We went by bus. I was interested in going because all of Anna's things were left at her mother's house. I respectfully asked my mother-in-law if I could look for something in the room where they kept all of her belongings. Without asking too many questions, she gave me the key to that little room on the third floor. She asked me if I wanted to go alone or if she could accompany me. I told her it wasn't necessary, that I preferred to be alone. From the moment I entered, I could smell a smell very similar to the bag we brought from Alameda. I moved some boxes, opened several, and emptied them. I also emptied some bags that only had clothes. When I had given up, I saw it. The bag was on a shelf. When I opened it, I had the disconcerting surprise that inside it was the mirror, the charger with the cat sticker, and all the things I saw in the other bag. I told the lady that I was going to take that bag and showed her what I had inside. I knew that my mother-in-law kept her daughter's things because they were very important to her. I promised her that on Sunday when I went to pick up the girl, I would return them to her, intact. She didn't ask me what I wanted to do with the bag. I think she knew more than anyone the deep meaning and value that the things of a person who is no longer here have for those who loved them the most. Two identical bags with the same things. Two chargers, two mirrors, two equally worn eyeliner pencils. What's more, on Sunday when I went to pick up the girl from Kuta, her grandmother's house, I didn't know which bag was which and I think I took the one we had brought from Alameda. I spent a long time talking with Ana's mother before we returned to Mexico City. We started talking about her daughter. Then I dared to tell her that I had seen a girl who looked exactly like her wearing the same red coat. The moment I finished saying it, I regretted it. I even felt something like a sudden shiver. Just looking at the walls of the house, you would see them covered in crosses, virgins, and religious images. The lady changed completely. She told me that she didn't believe in those things, that her daughter was resting in peace in the glory of God, in a better place. To end the conversation, the lady asked me to please not talk about those things in her house again. I left thinking about the interaction. I apologized to the lady, but I noticed that she remained serious, not angry, more thoughtful and a little sad. At 3 p.m., we left the bus terminal for Mexico City. When we got to the house, we found something very strange. The first thing I noticed was that the front door was ajar. Honestly, I don't remember leaving it like that. I never did that. In fact, I'm sure I had double locked it. I went in and stood in front of the girl. I was trying to hear if there was any noise. Yes, it seemed like someone was upstairs. I left the house and took the girl to her cousin's house, a few blocks away. When I returned, the person was still there. The shower upstairs was running. I felt scared, but if I didn't go, who would? Before going upstairs, I saw that the yellow bag was in the living room along with the red coat. Ana's coat had to be with the things her mother kept. Someone else was in the house that afternoon. The bed upstairs was unmade as if someone had slept in it all afternoon. The TV was on to the program my wife was watching, the shower faucet was open, the bathroom door was ajar like she always kept it. I got a huge scare when I pushed that door open. There was no one inside, but blood was coming out of the shower and the entire floor and walls were stained and it stank, disgustingly horrible. I didn't even dare go over to turn off the faucet. I left the bathroom horrified. I felt cold all over and dizzy. Why was all this happening to me? How were these things connected? I wasn't used to asking anyone else for help. For the first time in a long time, I didn't know what to do. I I went out into the street, sat on the sidewalk, and started thinking about something my mother-in-law had told me when we were saying goodbye to her. That if I ever needed help with my daughter, she would send her to school in Kuala without any problem and she would want for nothing. I replied, "Thank you very much," and very respectfully told her that she wanted for nothing here. But I had to eat my words because you know how things turned out. After calming down a bit, I returned home and went inside. The bag and coat were gone from the couch. The shower could no longer be heard running. In the room, the bed was neatly made, the TV was off, the bathroom door was closed, and strangest of all, not a drop or stain of blood. The smell of death was the only thing that lingered. That day I questioned my mental health. I felt very overwhelmed. I worried too much. Apparently I was imagining everything. Being aware of that made me decide to send the girl to her grandmother. I was having a lot of work because of the season. It was probably the stress and the remnants of the loss. The day I was going to take the girl to Kuala with a suitcase and two backpacks full of her things, we took a taxi to the bus station. Although I asked someone to help me cover my shift, I had to go to the restaurant at noon. That's why we left a little late. It was around 9 a.m. We were barely in the taxi on the Ermita Itapalapa Road when I saw the woman in the red coat at a stop sign. She was about 5 steps away. When I saw her, she saw me. Her expression changed. As always, I tried not to react because I was already convinced that it was a hallucination of mine. Before that time, I mistakenly thought that she hadn't appeared in front of anyone but me. And that might be the moment to find out if I was going crazy. I thought about asking the driver if he could see that woman or asking him what he thought of that person. It wasn't necessary. The woman walked towards us. I didn't want to look at her directly. I kept my gaze straight ahead, however, my heart started beating faster. This person who looked exactly like Anna approached the window, leaned out, and then knocked on the glass. It wasn't just me who reacted, the girl and the driver reacted as well. When she saw her mother, she let out a horrible scream, a scream that even caused me pain. When the driver turned around, I saw a look of terror on his face. I didn't understand what they were seeing. Definitely something different from what I was seeing. The driver pulled away until he ran a red light. I got up from my seat and asked him to wait. The woman was running after us. She was running fast. She was almost catching up to us. I told the driver two, then three times to stop and let us out. The little girl was screaming and begging for the car not to stop. When we lost sight of her, the driver asked me, still out of breath and agitated, if I didn't realize it was the devil following us. My daughter told me the same thing, that it was a person like that, but his emaciated body was red hot, the same color as my wife's coat. I wasn't imagining it. Not entirely. It was something demonic. I don't know if it was the devil himself or some demon, something that came from a deep, dark place. Why did it happen? I don't know, and I don't think I ever will. The only thing that is clear to me is that it's not a hallucination, or a double, or someone stealing her identity. My mother-in-law was right. She is resting wherever she is. I'm telling this story because I would have loved for her to hear it. October was her favorite month. I don't know why this thing chose me. Because she decided to look like my wife. Could it have been the result of an interaction I had, an object I touched, something I bought at the flea market, a woman who asked me for money, something I must have stared at for a long time? The people I've told my story to tell me that many things could have happened, even because she crossed herself in a place that wasn't holy, that wasn't a church. It didn't end well because the girl never returned home. She didn't want to. She stayed to live with her grandmother, and I think that's fine. The lady was right. The lady was right. Now my daughter doesn't need anything. Even the house in Kutla is in her name, everything the lady owns, in fact. And if I tell you that things didn't end well, it's because to this day I still see the woman in the red coat. Sometimes when I'm walking down the street, she stops in front of me, looks at me and smiles. She waits for me to follow her, to play her game. I try to pretend I don't see her, but when I ignore her for a long time, I manage to see the gaunt man, the devil, and I really don't like that. See you soon with more stories. Share, comment, like, subscribe, turn on all notifications. Until next time. Someone is watching you in the dark.